Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church, folks. Good to have you here today. Praise the Lord. Be sure and shake somebody's hand, hug their neck or whatever, and tell them you love them. Yeah, you want to tell them you love them. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Our God is an awesome God of love.
Amen.
He is mighty, mighty, mighty. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Okay, praise God. We have some special announcement today. One of our employees, Ben Coulter, and his lovely wife, Megan, had a baby. Wednesday morning at 3:08 a.m., 8-pound, 20 and a half inches baby girl. Her name the next day was Zoe Lee Coulter. So Jeff became a grandpa Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And they're great. I think they're back home and everybody's good and wonderful
praise
and all that. We had some interesting praise reports this week. The first one says, "Hi, Pastor and the TLS ministry team. I have a big praise report I wanted to give in detail. Pastor, I've been listening to your stuff from your site and on YouTube, hours and hours of it, and your teaching was the first I'd heard about the relation with sin and ailments upon our bodies. I learned that the ailments of my children regarding allergies and asthma were a generational curse passed down from my wife, who almost died as a baby, to my three children. He attached pictures of his middle child, Max, with a recent picture of over just a week ago to when he was a baby. And if you saw the picture, he just looks awful. His face is just red and broke out when he's a little baby. This has been a long and arduous journey. I've journalized my son's healing as far back as December of 2014, even though he was not healed. At the time, I was overly confident, but came to the realization it was false hope. I will explain what I mean. My wife and I prayed for God to forgive our forefathers of their sin that followed them through the curse. I stopped with his meds, as I tried a few times in the past, but he'd wake up in hives, and that's what he looked like, and scratching his skin to death, literally. It was very bad. We gave him allergy and asthma meds and had seen some bad side effects. If he previously would have anything with milk or nuts, we also brought him to the urgent care because of the bad reaction, gave him an EpiPen. We prayed and prayed and nothing. I beloved and prayed more almost daily, nothing. I remember Derek Prince had said, the deliverance is for the desperate. That's pretty cool. Deliverance is for the desperate, honey.
It is.
A person truly wanting, helping, or delivered come to their wits' end and finally do whatever needs to be done through the Father to get the healing that is needed. We were at this point. The picture attached shows my son. He's broken out in brown hives over a week ago. It came out of nowhere. We have no idea where it came from. We just went to the doctor, got him other meds to heal his skin. My confidence in God was firm, but I couldn't understand why healing was not taking place. I believe my faith is strong. On a side note, my favorite teachers and teachers have been Thurman, Derek Prince, and Henry Wright. All of you say the same thing about the spiritual condition in relation to the physical condition. As explained above, my son broke out in this horrendous, unexplained rash. My wife is a nurse and has a family that's indwelt in the medical profession. She also works in a trauma unit for kids under 18. So she's seen the worst of the worst of things that can happen to children. It can be burdensome because many of the kids this age are the same as our own children, age 2, 5, and 9. There's a medical doctor named Dr. Michelle Stridham that is also a believer. He wrote a book called Healing Begins with the Sanctification of the Heart. It's a free ebook online if you want to flip through it. I believe this will help your ministry immensely. She integrates in her book teachings of Henry Wright, who has the ministry in Georgia called Be in Health. He was a pre-med student and a pharmacist before he got in ministry. They go into minute details of ailments that people have, from the root of one's sin to how it affects your immune system and cortisone levels, etc., depending on the sin. Do you remember when you spoke about a gal with breast cancer on either the right or left side shows there's bitterness or an offense with a non-blood or blood female relative? Well, here's an excerpt of her book that is exactly what you've experienced with two testimonies. If the cysts or the tumors appear in the left breast, it's an indicator. This is from this woman's ebook. It's an indicator of unresolved conflict and bitterness between the female with the disease and another female who is a blood relative. That would be mother, sister, grandmother, or aunt. If the tumors or cysts appear in the right breast, it's an indication of unresolved conflict, bitterness between the female with the disease and a non-blood female relative. And this is interesting. Mother-in-law at the top of the list, or a woman in the workplace or woman in the church. If the tumor appears in both breasts, indication of unresolved conflict, bitterness between that woman with the disease and both sides, blood relative and non-blood relative. I cannot explain this medically, but this is holding true in 90% of case histories that have been looked at over the last 10 years. There are examples. For example, 10% of all breast cancer is caused by mammograms, and I'll discuss that later on. And I'd like to share two testimonies by Henry Wright in his experience with breast cancer. So this is in her book, and this is Henry Wright. One of the first cases of breast cancer I got involved with was 1984. A lady came to me a couple of days before her surgery for a radical mastectomy, where the whole breast is removed. I got involved in her life and found there had been competition between the females in her family. I mean sibling rivalry, and the girls were competing with their own mother for supremacy. It was a mess. There was a tremendous amount of bickering, strong root of bitterness. I got with her before God and helped her to forgive her sisters and her mother. She repented before God for this long-term feud. Her mother had a history of the same type of behavior with her own sisters. These females had hated one another for generations, a catfight all the way. She had the mastectomy surgery, and coming out of surgery, we were still doing ministry, dealing with spiritual roots and blocks to healing and coming before God, and her doctor said to her, "I'm going to put you on chemotherapy for 5 years. She came and told me that her doctor wanted to do this. I said, "Well, if God has healed you and if your oncogenes are present, you are wasting your time." I suggested that she get her genes retested. She went back to the doctor. They retested her with both anti-oncogenes were present. Excuse me if that's not right. Where before they had not been. That's a miracle. We're now 12 years down the road and she's still alive today. Praise God. There are many other cases. When I was teaching in Wycliffe, North Carolina, a lady was in the audience who had lumps in both her breasts. She heard my teaching on cancer in the conference. I was teaching there 3 days, but she did not come up to me. She never said a word to me, never even spoke to her or prayed for her, but she went home from that conference thoroughly convicted. She had simmering bitterness against her mother and her mother-in-law. She went into her prayer closet, began to repent to God for bitterness against her mother. Then in her mind, these words formed. "You need to just not repent. You need to go to your mother and make it right." She made an appointment with her mother and admitted this long-term bitterness, irritation, and resentment. She made her peace with her mother. When she was rechecked by her doctor, all lumps were gone, but only in her left breast. She went back into her prayer closet and said, "God, why only one breast?" Then again in her mind, these words formed. "You've only done half the work. What about your mother-in-law?" Whoopsie daisy. Then she made an appointment with her mother-in-law, and when she was rechecked by the doctor, all lumps had disappeared in the right breast, and this was over 10 years ago, and she's well today. No one prayed for her. Sometimes it's not necessarily prayer we need. Getting right with God, ourselves, and our brother is what we need. Now, I've told you something very, very important. Because of this knowledge, you have the chance to defeat breast cancer forever in your life. Breaches between females have got to stop, as it is extremely dangerous for your health. Ladies, it's very important that you make peace with all other females immediately. Well, what if they won't make peace with me? It's not what they do, it's what you do. Somebody has to get spiritual here. Who do you think it needs to be? So anyway, I explain how to deal with spiritual issues behind cancer. So this book is much detailed, this is at the end of this young man's that's got the problem with his son. The book is much detailed like this for sins as worry, anxiety, stress, fear, bitterness, unforgiveness, to name a few. She speaks medical terms, shows the root as you did with the breast cancer, and can explain why someone has an ailment to a T. Essentially, the barrier to our kids' healing was the one flesh, my wife and I, to an extent. The book explains that asthma and allergies and some other ailments can be generational, which I already knew through your teaching. The root of the sin was fear, anxiety, and stress. When my son broke out in the unexplainable hives, my wife had a great fear and anxiety because kids were at a lake and could not swim. She was defying God's word to not worry and not be anxious. Her fear and anxiety brought the hives to max. It was rooted in her spirit. It was not plucked out. These were the spiritual roots. I told her of this revelation. She repented of that and anger. She said she could feel the spirit of anger or whatever depart and lift from her. We repented together. We confessed the sins of our forefathers. We anointed our kids with oils. I've never been so confident before. It's been 5 days with no meds. You warned me the enemy will come and counterattack to break our faith. I was prepared because the first day my kid got hives. However, we prayed and the inch went away. The enemy's been trying to attack my son in his dreams with fear. We prayed, resisted the beast. He tried to attack by giving hives, but prayed and they go away. He's trying to get to my baby and give her hives. We pray and they go away. He's itching and clawing, but there's no more stronghold. We cast out the spirit of infirmity. And yesterday, I gave my son chocolate that had milk in it and was made in a facility with nuts. no reaction.
Right.
We ask God to be one more. We ask God to be patient with us as we introduce more and more food, and He is. Praise be to God, be the glory. Ty.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay. All right, this one's quite the story. Okay, this is from, I think her name's Nancy. Thank you for your reply. I don't know how I missed the email. I've been listening to several of your messages. Check my inbox for a reply today. I thought I'd do a search of my emails to see if I missed it, and sure enough, I did. Thurman, I was healed of what doctors could only call a mega colon. It was 8 times the size of a normal colon, and it pushed up on my diaphragm and my lungs and even moved my heart over. Wow. An x-ray of my body showed that the whole left side of my body from top to bottom was black, indicating it was my colon. They all said my x-rays belonged in a medical book. I had 5 doctors check me out. Each of them wanted to remove my colon. They all used words like, "This is spectacular. I've never seen anything like this," etc. I knew then that it was a spiritual battle. I suffered with it for 5 years, though I knew the symptoms had started when I was pregnant with our 4th child, and he's now 15. I found a doctor that was a Christian. I told him I was going to fast and pray. He supported me. He has a friend who's a gastroenteritis at the University of Minnesota. He showed him my x-ray, and he said he'd never seen anything like it. The Christian doctor worked with me on my diet to get things under control, but I would still suffer from terrible flare-ups where I literally look 9 months pregnant. Every time I see him, my doctor, Christian doctor, tells me I am not going to have surgery, and we are going to prove the other doctors wrong. The friend, I came to Iowa. We went to Iowa, I think it was April. With the friend I came to Iowa with also had an issue with her colon, and she was healed as well. So this woman got healed in Iowa in April, all right? Praise the Lord. Every time I talked about how good I feel, my husband cheers, "Praise the Lord. It is awesome. His faith has grown so much. He's come from a line of cowboys, and you actually remind me so much of his dad. And when I met you face-to-face in Iowa that night, I just felt God's love downloaded upon me through you. I was thinking you were going to be a bit more matter-of-fact and just tell me to kick that devil out, but you were so loving and tender, it brings tears to my eyes just thinking about it. I was healed that night, but there have been 2 occasions where I was feeling symptoms and had to repent. My mind had been so used to beating myself up that it just naturally reacted that way one day when I slipped up and made a simple mistake. It took a while, but I repented and the symptoms disappeared. The second time, my mom called me and told me that God told her that for me to be healed, I needed to apologize to my dad. I'm 45 years old, but do you know, my mom still has that effect on me. I think all moms do. Oh, yeah. My dad has heaped and heaped insults and curses upon me, and when I just couldn't take it any longer, I defended myself one day, and he has accused me of not honoring him ever since. It's a mess. He curses me and my family often. He hates my husband. On Mother's Day, I went to see my mom, and he ended up with Dad cursing me to hell and telling me what a horrible mother I am. Anyway, after my mom told me to apologize to him, I started shaking from head to toe. I told her in God's time, I will come and apologize for what I've done to him, and left it at that. The symptoms came back instantly, and it took a whole day to pray them away. Praise God, he that is in me is stronger than any old devil. Then I have to tell you, God has a sense of humor, because when I hung up the phone, I got this picture in my head. I pictured my dad dumping a truckload of cad poopy on my doorstep and me dropping one little poopy on his doorstep and him demanding me to apologize for it. It may sound crude to you, but honestly, that's a good picture of this situation. I do need to apologize for yelling back at him, but right now there is no talking to him. I've tried so many times. I've even tried to apologize, and he just chases me off the place. So now my approach is just thank God for my father, thank God in all things, and forgive and love him. My dad was not always this mean. He has just lived such a life of difficulty, loss, and pain, and ended up losing a son as well, and that's been 22 years ago. I have an older sister, a younger brother left. My dad has come to push my brother and I away from him for some reason. He adores my sister. He despises me and my brother. It's strange. My older brother that died was 27, a lumberjack. A tree fell on him and took his life. I look at my dad sometimes in his eyes, and I can see him trapped inside that old broken body, and I can see that he doesn't want to be the person he's become. I want so badly for my dad to be healed of alcoholism along with all the other oppression he lives under. He lives with chronic pain from a terrible fall he had on a 12-foot scaffold 5 to 6 years ago. He broke several bones in his body, including his back, pelvis, arm, and shoulder. He was in the nursing home recovering 3 months. During that time, he came to know the Lord. He was so pleasant to be around, and we talked a lot about the Lord. The day we brought him home, I'll never forget it. As soon as we walked into his house, he reverted back to the grumpy old man instantly and started drinking for the pain. He has never apologized to anyone for his actions and never thinks he's wrong. The crazy thing is, he and Mom still read the Bible every morning out loud together. I'm just praying for supernatural revelation knowledge of the scriptures for him one of these days. I really don't think he'll be calling your office himself, but I will pray and see how God works this out. My nephew, oh man, I gave my brother-in-law and sister-in-law a copy of your CD called A Cure for Cancer. The nephew has cancer. I think it's one of your best ones. Becky gave it back and told me that Rich told her to turn it off and that it is of the devil. Sorry to tell you that, but I'm sure it's not the first time you've heard it. I took it to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord showed me a scripture of Jesus being accused of the same thing. I wanted to say to them, so if this is of the devil, what good would it do him when all these people are healed and giving God the glory? But they don't want to talk to me about it. It breaks my heart. My nephew's 18. I want to just take him for a long ride to Texas one day to your healing school, but not sure how that would go over. I know some pastors in the area, and we'll see if I can get something lined up somewhere around here. Our church is a little tiny Alliance church. And anyway, she's talking about how she would cover everything. I want this so badly. I've been taking friends to my 95-year-old friend Lila, the one who introduced me to your teaching nearly weekly and giving your CDs to others. And one of those women is Lori. She's 69, had a stroke in February. Before that, she'd been living a life of sin, a wild life, and after the stroke, she's been dealing with such extreme hopelessness and defeat. Demons show up every night, torment her with her past. I've prayed and prayed. Most people have given up on her because they don't see results. I'm refusing to give up. She says everyone she comes in contact with suffers from some terrible disease, accident, injury, illness. I told her today, I'm not afraid. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. She has a sweet spirit. I told her God used a stroke to pluck her out of the life she was living, and now it's impossible for her to live that life. So rejoice. But maybe that's easy to say to her, but hard for her to understand. She's been listening and ordering your CDs. She told me today that she really believes that you are the only person who she thinks can help her. And oh, Thurman, I want the anointing you have so badly. I told you, I said everybody wants that. I want to be used by God to heal others of illness and especially oppression of the devil. You know, the workers are few and the field is so great, so if we want so badly to be workers and laborers for God, I'm sure he will grant it, but I'm sure it will come with a great cost. Again, thank you for your obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. Thank you for demonstrating a moment of love that I so badly needed from my Heavenly Father. You reminded me that I am a daughter of the King and my heart was filled to the brim. We serve a mighty God. I hope to be in touch again, Nicole. So she was healed, her friend was healed in Iowa, and we're going to believe that her father and her nephew are also going to be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Those few testimonies is just a little example of what Cheryl and I go through with every night. That's what we read and answer for people all over the world every night. Every night, and almost every night. Every once in a while, last night I thought I was going to get to skip it. I told her, I said, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. So she was in here practicing music, so I went to bed, and I thought, well, I'll just get a good night's sleep. And I went in there, and Chris Schwartz, in just a little while, she came and jumped in bed with her computer and said, are you ready? I said, oh, goodness gracious, yes, I'm ready. And so we answered prayer calls for another 2 hours. But you know, just think, if we don't pray, God can't do anything. After we pray, nothing's impossible. And that's why that these testimonies, you know, that you hear today, I have a problem that I love. So many people have testimonies I don't remember. Isn't that amazing? There was a young man came in here a while ago whenever we first started, and he came in, shook my hand and everything, and told me he had a testimony. Well, that young man had a problem with his ear, I believe it was. Where are you, young man? Okay, come up here. Give me out the mic. I want you to tell us your name and your age and what happened.
Okay. Hold it up for us. Hello, everybody. My name is Raleigh Lane. God has been walking with me ever since I was a young child. I had been diagnosed with a cholesteatoma, which is AKA a brain ear tumor, a tumor in my ear. And my grandmother, she had found this church and found this location. We traveled out here and pastor prayed over me. And literally, I have not had this ear tumor come back. This was 13 years ago.
Praise the Lord.
And after he had prayed over me, I was so fearful. I was so fearful as a young child during that time. I was extremely fearful. And then whenever we came out here, immediately he touched me, and there was this warm sensation of peace, of tranquility, of just serenity. And I knew after that, God was in control, you know. So today, you're experiencing it. It's the truth. He can do all things. Just ask.
Yeah.
Just ask and pray. It can happen. It happened to me.
Amen.
God bless you all.
And thank God for a good grandmother, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Let's don't forget to give Grandma because, you know, there's so many people today that are young that don't have any knowledge and have no grandmother or grandfather
to tell them, or
even a father or a mother to tell them. And so praise God for the grandmothers and grandfathers that will bring their children to a place like this where we can pray and where the King of the universe can fix his ear. And he's been healed now for,
well, 13 years. Yes.
13 years is still perfect, and he's going to continue to walk with God and do what God says so he don't ever have it come back. Right, son?
That's right.
Amen. Thank you for the testimony. Praise God. We love you, son. Amen. Isn't God awesome?
Yes, he is.
I want somebody to tell me how many verses is in Psalms 106. I want somebody to look up Psalms 106, and I want you to tell me how many verses is in it. 48 verses. 48 verses. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what happens when you do what God says. We have a family here in this church today that has four children. And these four children, when they conceived these four children, the doctors all told this couple, which he's a doctor also told him that he's going to have to abort at least two of these children. Now, the first one that to have been aborted would have been this boy. They only have one boy, and then the next one was a girl, and then two more girls. But the doctors all wanted to abort the first two. And the very first one was this little guy, this little boy. And this mother and dad says, no, we are not going to let you abort any of our children. Well, they tried to tell the mother, if you don't let us abort, you'll be in the hospital for months. The children will be in the hospital for months. They'll not grow up full. Nothing will work like it's supposed to. If we would only get to the point where we believe that prayer worked.
Amen.
That's our problem, right? We just don't believe that God hears our prayers. But this couple do. They did believe. And they believed that God would do exactly what he said. They believed that God would deliver all four of these little children. They didn't believe that God put four of them in there, then he wanted us to kill two of them, like the doctors in the world all says. So they says, no, we're going to stand on God's word, and we're going to have them all four, and they're going to be born normal, and we're going to be out of this hospital and nothing flat, and we're going to be at home, and these kids are all going to grow up to be mighty men and women of God.
Amen.
They did all that, and they did have the four children. And how long was you in the hospital with those four babies?
I was there for 5 days,
and the children were there for 2 months. How
long did she say?
5 days? Okay, she, instead of being in her months, like they said, she was only in the hospital 5 days, and then they went home, and they've been raising these children. Now, this little boy, the first one, little Joel, that was going to be aborted if they had allowed it, which they never even entertained that thought, you would have missed what you're fixing to see. This little guy is going to come up here, and he's going to quote to you Psalms 106, which has 48 verses. Joel, come up here.
How old is he?
He's 9 years old. Now, y'all listen now and see what he does for all these verses.
Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him half enough? Happy are those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. Remember me too, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to me with your salvation. Let me share in the prosperity of your chosen ones. Let me rejoice in the joy of your people. Let me praise you with those who are your heritage. Both we and our ancestors have sinned. We have done wrong. We have acted wickedly. Our ancestors in Egypt were not impressed by the Lord's miracles. They soon forgot his many acts of kindness to them. Instead, they rebelled against him at the Red Sea. Even so, he saved them to defend the honor of his name and to demonstrate his mighty power. He commanded the Red Sea to divide, and a dry path appeared. He led Israel across the sea bottom that was as dry as a desert. So he rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. Then the water returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived. Then his people at last believed his promises. Then they finally sang his praises. Yet how quickly they forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild, testing God's patience in that dry land. So he gave them what they asked for, but he sent a plague along with it. The people in the camp were jealous of Moses and envious of Aaron, the Lord's holy priests. Because of this, the earth opened up. It swallowed Dathan and buried Abiram and the other rebels. Fire fell upon their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. The people made a calf at Mount Sinai. They bowed before an image made of gold. They traded their glorious God for a statue of a grass-eating ox. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt, such wonderful things in that land, such awesome deeds at the Red Sea. So he declared he would destroy them. But Moses, his chosen one, stepped between the Lord and the people. He begged him to turn from his anger and not destroy them. The people refused to enter the pleasant land, for they wouldn't believe his promise to care for them. Instead, they grumbled in their tents and refused to obey the Lord. Therefore, he swore that he would kill them in the wilderness, that he would scatter his descendants among the nations, exiling them to distant lands. Then our ancestors joined the worship at Baal at Peor. They even ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They angered the Lord with all these things, so a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas had the courage to step in, and the plague was stopped. So he has been regarded as a righteous man ever since that time. At Meribah, too, they angered the Lord, causing Moses serious trouble. They made Moses angry, and he spoke foolishly. Israel failed to destroy the nations in the land as the Lord had told them to. Instead, they mingled among the pagans and adopted their evil customs. They worshipped their idols, and this led to their downfall. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, by sacrificing them to the idols of Canaan. They polluted the land with murder. They defiled themselves by their evil deeds, and their love of idols was adultery in the Lord's sight. That is why the Lord's anger burned against his people, and he abhorred his own special possession. He handed them over to pagan nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies crushed them and brought them under their cruel power. Again and again he delivered them, but they continued to rebel against him, and they were finally destroyed for their sins. Even so, he pitied them in their distress and listened to their cries. He remembered his covenant with them and reled them because of his unfailing love. He even caused their captors to treat them with kindness. O Lord, our God, save us. Gather us back from among the nations so we can thank your holy name, rejoice, and praise you. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now then, just think what we would have missed if they had aborted this little boy. Now then, if you can see what God has done with him in the first 9 years of his life, Can you imagine what this boy might be by the time he gets to be 25 or 35?
Amen.
He's gonna have the Word of God hidden in his heart. And the Lord says, hide the Word in your heart so you will not sin against me. So just think. I could have asked him, and I know he could have quoted it, but I want us to read Psalms 91, because I want you to see that if you hide this word in your heart and you meditate on the Word of God and you do what God says in the first two verses, I want us to see what God says He will do for us. Now, let's think about this a second. Most people don't even think like this. Do you realize that there is a path you can go down where there is no sickness and no disease?
Amen.
Most people don't even think like that. I mean, I remember when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, nobody had a problem when I was 11 years old accepting Jesus as my personal Savior. But a few years later, when I was about 35, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal healer. Now, I caught a lot of flack from the church when I told them, you're looking at a man that's standing on the Word of God, Romans 10, 8 and 9, that if I will confess Jesus with my mouth, it's all about, like Dave told you a while ago, it's all about Jesus. That covenant he made is all about God and Jesus. All we got to do is just believe it and praise him. It's a done deal. Our part's done. Just worship him and praise him and thank him. But when I started telling people, I don't have to be sick no more. I mean, you would be amazed at the people that laughed at me. They said, you're crazy. Everybody's going to be sick. Well, if you think you're going to be sick, guess what? You're going to be sick. You know, I used to have the flu at least twice every season. Because whenever flu time would come, you know, in the fall, the spring and the fall, when the cool, rainy weather, I would say, well, it's that time of year again. I guess I'll come down with a runny nose, and I guess I'll have the flu. And sure enough, in 2 or 3 weeks, I said, well, just exactly what I thought. See, I got the flu. I didn't realize I'm putting it on myself. Because Jesus, he took that away. But I was putting it on myself. And so when I finally learned that he bore this for me, he'd already paid the price. He's paid in full.
Amen.
When I learned that, I said, Jesus, I mean, if I'm reading this right, this scripture says in Romans 10, 8 and 9, that if I will confess Jesus with my mouth, believe in my heart the Father raised him from the dead, I will be saved, I will be healed, I will be delivered, I will be preserved. It all belongs to me and it's all paid for in full. All I got to do is believe. And that means I'm also redeemed from the curse because of what he done. And so all I got to do to get rid of, if I have sickness in my body, any kind of a sickness, all I got to do is tell you, all you got to do is repent for your sin. And you know what the biggest sin in the church is today?
Unbelief.
Why, Lord, could we not heal this boy? Because of your unbelief. You don't believe. Now, if you'll believe, it'll work. And so you just say, okay, Lord, I repent for all of my sins. Now then I'm going to receive you as my personal healer. And from this day forth, I'm never going to have another sick day. Thank you, Lord. Now, of course, you just don't have any idea how much flack you'll catch when you start going down the road telling people, I ain't going to be sick no more. Who do you think you are? I know who I am. I'm a son of God. I'm a man that, and a boy, or whatever you want to call me, that knows Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And if he paid in full for me everything that goes along with sickness and sin, all I got to do is repent of my sins of unbelief, repent of my sins of grumbling and complaining, or repent of my sins of whatever. If you repent of all those sins and then say, Lord, you paid the price, so I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Just like that young boy, 25 years old, that we just listened to his testimony. He got healed when he was 12 or 13 years old, and he's still healed. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now then, what if he hadn't had a good grandmother? What if his grandmother had been a believer like some of the people I know? I don't believe that stuff. You know, that's out of my range. I don't believe that does not fit my theology. I hear that a lot. In fact, I even had a Baptist preacher the other day. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but somebody wanted this man to get healed, and he had cancer. So they asked us if we would send a copy of our teaching to this Baptist preacher. Well, we did. And, of course, in a few days, we got it back. And he said, yeah, thank you for sending me this, but it doesn't fit my theology. So I'm giving it back to you. Well, you know, if you want to die, that's okay. You know, if you really do know Jesus, if you die in sickness at 40 years old or whatever, you know, you still win. You just get to go to heaven a little early. That's the way I look at it. But I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I don't want the Lord to meet me and say, I'm sorry, you didn't do anything for me while you was down there, so I'm not going to give you no rewards. You're not going to get no crowns. You're not going to get no rewards. You're not going to, you didn't do nothing. You didn't produce any fruit for me. You went to church every Sunday, but you didn't do nothing. Lord Howard Pittman, when he was here, he said, I told the Lord that when I stood in his presence, I said, but Lord, my wife and I raised 27 foster children for you. The Lord says, oh, I'm so tired of you hearing you say that. He said, you didn't raise them kids for me. You raised them so you and your wife could gloat over it. You didn't do nothing for me. How would you like to stand before the king one day and have produced no fruit for the kingdom? And yet he's given you the kingdom and the keys to the kingdom. And anything you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. And anything you loose on earth should be loose in heaven. And you find out one day you have all power and all authority. And you can go up to a young man like that young man right there. You can remit his sins. You can lay your hands on that little boy's ear and command the spirits of the kingdom to heal that little boy and the Holy Ghost. And that little guy gets healed. And he was in fear because he didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand at 12 or 13 what's happening. But when Jesus touched him, he was in complete peace. Now then, a few years later, he looked to me like he's still in complete peace, didn't he?
Amen. Yeah.
And a young man like that, once a young man has been healed by the power of God, he's had a touch from God, it'd be hard to tell that young man that God don't heal anymore. You can't tell them, can you? You can't convince them. Why do we do that? Why do we take the Word of God and all these wonderful things that Jesus give us? Just think. Just like Dave said a while ago with that sin and sickness deal that he was talking about with the covenant that God made with Jesus Christ for us, so that all we got to do to receive that is Romans 10, 8 and 9 says that if I will confess with this mouth Jesus is Lord, and I will believe in my heart that the Father raised him from the dead, I will be healed. That's all I got to do. Now then, if I've been doing something, if I'm not spending any time with God, I'm not reading His Word, then I need to make some changes. Because He wants a love walk relationship with you. And if you want to get healed and you want to stay healed, that very first line there, honey, in Psalm 91, I want you to listen to the first little command in Psalms 91 that Cheryl reads and see what it says.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
Okay. What did that say? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. In other words, I don't know how many people I've had this last week that when they called in and I don't know why they all want to talk to me, but they all want to talk to me nearly every time. But anyway, so many of them said, I just know that my daughter will be healed. If Pastor Thurman will just pray over her, I know she'll be healed. And I said, well, while I'm standing there, they're trying to pass questions on to me. I said, ask them, where's their pastor? What church do they go to? Oh, we don't go to church. I mean, so you don't have a pastor and you don't go to church? Well, where do you tithe? Well, we don't have enough money to give anything. We don't give any money to God. And you're expecting me, a mere little man, to pray for you and expecting the mighty God to wipe you clean, and you don't love him, you don't worship him, you don't praise him, you don't go to church, you don't tithe, you don't read his word. When did he tell you to read his word? No, no, he didn't. What did he say? There's a girl up here that's got the right answer. He didn't say read that book, did he, young lady?
No.
He said study that book so that you will not sin against me. What do you think God is, Mike? Do you think God's looking for a relationship between you and him? Yeah, you know he is. You know he is. If you don't have that relationship, that's why you don't get healed. I mean, and the reason I can say that is Dave, the gentleman that was doing the teaching while ago on communion. When Dave got healed, when Dave first came here, I prayed over Dave. We broke curses over Dave. We did everything we knew how to do for a year and a half, actually 20 months. 20 months we fought that battle. Now, most people say, you know, we prayed. Some of those testimonies that Cheryl read, they prayed. It doesn't appear to be working. So when we finally got Dave healed, I have 20 months later, finally got him healed. I mean, the guy that was standing up here a while ago, he had an awful case of eczema that was on him, on his mother, on his grandmother. I mean, it was definitely a generational curse. No two ways about it. But when, as we stood on the promises of God and getting rid of sin and everything else, finally God healed him. 20 months later, God finally healed Dave and he got rid of all of his sickness. Dave come to me and he said, Pastor, why did it take so long for me to get healed? I said, Dave, I don't have a clue. Only God knows that. You're going to have to go to him. So you can take the word of God. You can take that Psalm 91:15 or Jeremiah 33:3. Either one will tell you, call unto me and I will answer you. So I told Dave, I said, go to the Lord and use those scriptures and ask him, what did you do wrong? So he began to ask the Lord, Lord, what did I do wrong? Why did it take 20 months for me to get healed? Finally, the Lord spoke to Dave and said, Dave, the reason it took so long for me to heal you is because you don't know who I am and I don't know you. He said, what do you mean, Lord? I'm a son of God. He said, oh, I know you are. He said, Lord, and I go to church every Sunday. He said, yes, I know that. And he said, Lord, and I tithe. He said, yes, I know that. He said, then what am I doing wrong? He said, you and I have no intimacy. No intimacy. You don't spend but maybe 15 minutes a week with me in the Word. Oh, you mean you think if you went out and got married to this beautiful young lady and you and her were young and you were getting married that she's only going to want 15 minutes a week with you? I don't think so. How about 15 hours a week? Would that be better? That'd be better, wouldn't it? So anyway, Dave asked the Lord, how much time should I spend with you? And guess what he told him? He said, a tithe would be a good place to start. A tithe. You know, that's 2.5 or a little over 2.5 hours a day. Now, let me ask you, who in this room spends 2.5 hours a day in the Word of God? Some do, some don't. But if you were sick and you got a problem and you want to be healed, if you really want God to heal you, I tell you one thing I have learned, you have to do it His way. If he says, you've got to come to me, you've got to repent, read that scripture one more time. He who dwells in the secret place, read it loud, honey.
He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Okay, now read the next one.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress.
Okay, now wait a minute right there. This is when people think you're nuts. When you're driving down the road, you know, and you got your knee up underneath the steering wheel, holding the steering wheel, you got both hands in the air saying, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Somebody passes by and looks at you and says, what's wrong with that idiot? I'll tell you what's wrong with that boy. He's trying to get healed. He's holding his hands up. He's praising the Lord. In fact, I'll tell you that praise, when you think about that, I remember one time here a few years ago, Cheryl had a tooth that come loose. It was on the back one, I think, or whatever. Anyway,
the bridge
came loose on one end. So she went to the dentist to get him to take it off and then re-glue it. She'd had it like 30 years or whatever. So anyway, she went to the dentist, and the other end, he could not get it off. I mean, he could not get that thing off. He beat on it, hammered on it, and Cheryl, she's a very unique woman. You don't hear, very rarely do you ever see a woman do what she did. She told the doctor, stop, I've got to call my husband and have him pray. Now, you're in the dentist chair, and your wife says, stop, I've got to have my husband to pray. You don't see that very often, do you? So anyway, she called me, and so I prayed. I asked the Lord to loosen up that stuff so that bridge would come off so they could clean it up and re-glue it. And I thanked him for it and everything, and then she went back and got in the chair, and another 10 or 15 minutes, my phone rang. She said, honey, he's been beating and hammering on that thing. It still ain't coming loose. Said, you're going to have to pray again. So here's a woman that knows that God answers prayer. I mean, she's had many answers to prayer since she's been my wife, I'll tell you for sure. God has touched her lots of ways. So anyway, I prayed again. I remitted my sins. I remitted her sins. I washed us in the blood. I did everything I knew to do. And I praised the Lord, and then I prayed again. I said, now, Lord, I thank you. And I said, honey, I guarantee when he gets hold of it this time, it'll come off. Well, she didn't call me back, so I thought, well, it must have worked. So I praised the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I got home that afternoon. When she got home, I said, well, how'd you deal with the tooth? She said, he couldn't get it off. I said, what? Couldn't get it off? Said, no, it would not come off. Said, he tried and tried. Finally, he gave up, and he said he had a tool over in another office. Next week, he'd bring it over here. He'd take it off with that, but he said he didn't want to break the bridge. They cost too much money, so he'd just have to wait. I said, okay, Lord, what did I do wrong? Now, see, God promises to answer your prayer. Every time. All of God's promises are yes and amen. He promised. So anytime you, as a Christian, don't get your prayer answered, you need to find out what is the problem. Because the problem is never with God. It's always with me. And so anyway, I didn't know what I'd done. I prayed and I asked the Lord, Lord, show me what I'd done wrong. So me and Eldon, we was going to go get some furniture. So we headed off down toward Fort Worth. And then we got the furniture. And on the way back, we're driving along there. And Eldon's driving. I'm over there. It's dark now. So I'm sitting over thinking, Lord, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Lord, thank you for the answer. And I heard such a quiet little voice say, praise. I thought, what? What did I hear? I said, Lord, I got to know what I did wrong. I got to know. And I hear this little voice somewhere back in the background say, praise, praise. I just barely heard it. I'm sitting there thinking, what are you trying to tell me? You know, it's amazing when you're that dense. You know that? You know, if I wanted you to praise me, I shouldn't have to tell you 10 times, right? So anyway, Eldon asked me, he said, Thurman, why do you think God didn't answer your prayer? He said, he always answers your prayer for your wife. I said, I know. I said, Eldon, I think I just got it. I think I just figured it out. He said, what is it? I said, I've been hearing this little tiny word in the background keep saying praise. I said, I didn't praise him. I thanked him for taking it off, but I didn't praise him. I said, Lord, that's what it is. I said, Lord, thank you. I'm so sorry that I didn't catch you. I'm so sorry. I'm so slow. And it took me so long to figure this out. Lord, even with you telling me, so Lord, I want to praise you and worship you and thank you for taking the bridge off of Cheryl's teeth. Lord, thank you. I praise you. And Eldon, he put his knee up underneath that steering wheel and he put both hands up in there and he said, yes, Lord, me and Thurman want to praise you for taking that bridge off. Lord, thank you. We praise you. Here we are, two crazy guys driving down the road, 75-year-old men with their hands up, driving a truck down the road, praising God. And nobody knows what we're doing except God and me and Eldon. But if we're going along the weed for about 10 miles, I mean, the road was pretty straight for about 10 miles. Eldon and me was praising the Lord, thanking the Lord. He's holding that steering wheel up with his knee, and I'm kind of laughing at him, but we're praising the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer for Cheryl's teeth. In about 10 minutes, 10 miles or so down the road, all of a sudden my phone rang. Cheryl, I said, yes, honey, what's going on? She said, what are you doing? I said, well, me and Ellen driving along here praising the Lord for taking that bridge off your mouth. She said, I knew it. I said, what do you mean? She said, the thing just fell off in my mouth. Now, a dentist couldn't get it off with a hammer, with a claw hammer and a sledge. He's in there breaking that thing up and he couldn't get it off. But because Eldon and me started praising, he just dropped it off. It just, what can God do? When you need to get that in your heart. Read that now, read a little more. In Psalm 91.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust.
Now then, when you say that, you got to be willing to say that. I mean, everywhere you go. Everywhere. Remember, just like the other day, Cheryl and I was in Baltimore. We walked into an elevator, and it was an elevator load of big, tall, handsome young men, about 6'6", 6'8". Must have been a basketball team or something. I don't know. We stepped in there, and I said, wow. I said, look at the potential in this room. I'm looking up at all of them. I said, wow, what potential. I said, you guys, there's not anything a team of men like you guys couldn't do. I said, by the way, how many of you young men are Christians? How many of you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Not one single man opened his mouth. Not one. So we get nearly to the bottom, and I said, well, I guess I was wrong. You guys are a bunch of wimps. I said, God likes men. He don't like wimps. I said, if you boys want to see Him do something great, you need to start praising the King. And so the elevator stopped, the door opened, and me and Cheryl walked out, and three of those young boys said, God bless you, sir. You see, you separate the boys from the wimps. You know, when you start having to say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my strength, that's when you find out. When I say, hey, let's talk about Jesus, they say, oh my gosh, don't talk so loud. Let's go in the library in here somewhere where it's nice and quiet. We don't want nobody to know we're talking about Jesus. Let me tell you, I want everybody to know I'm talking about Jesus, don't you? I want Him to answer my prayer. And He said there in that scripture that Cheryl just read, I have to say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my strength, He's my God. In Him do I trust. And I have not, somebody says, well, you just... In fact, I've told this story a few times. Every time I tell it, people just love it. We was in Kansas City preaching. It was midnight. We were getting ready to leave the church. Dave was with us, and he said, I know the Scriveners. They always hang out too late at the restaurant. So he said, I want to go back to the hotel. So the pastor said, okay, the hotel's only a block down the street, so I'll take you and drop you off, and then I'll come back. But he said, I'll drop Cheryl and Thurman and my wife off at the IHOP, and so they can be ordering us something. So anyway, we got out. We go in, and this young boy comes up, and he said, how can I help you? And I said, well, we want to place an order. But I said, son, before we place an order, I want to know something. He said, what's that, sir? I said, are you a born-again Christian? Do you know Jesus? He said, no, I don't know Jesus, but my grandfather does. I said, well, there ain't no grandchildren in heaven. You got to be a born-again child of God. So I said, you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he said, well, I don't know Jesus. And all of a sudden, back down here, he's either Indian or Muslim, way down here at the end of this row. And he said, who is it in here that's talking about Jesus? Don't you know you can't use that name in a public place? I kicked my seat back. I jumped up and I stood up and I said, who said that? He said, I did. I went running down the hallway. I mean, right down there. And as I got to where the booth was, I run up against his booth. I jumped over to his booth and I said, grabbed him. And I said, come out of him, you devil of hell, you beast that's blinding his mind. I said, now, Lord, convict this man of sin. Draw him into the kingdom and save him right now in Jesus' name. I said, now, sir, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? He said, I'd love it. And he reached over and grabbed my hand and I led that boy to Jesus. People say, I could never have done that. Well, you ain't where you need to be yet. I mean, you need to be where you're not ashamed. When somebody stands up and says, you can't talk about Jesus, you better not be talking in my presence. Because I happen to know I'm a son of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my God. And there ain't nothing impossible with Him and me. I may have to be up there as a little bitty flaky guy, you know, but I know with Jesus, He can do anything if He's just got a piece of dirt to work with. And He only needs a little bitty piece of dirt too, doesn't He?
That's right.
He needs you and me. That's that little piece of dirt. And if you'll just let Him have control, amen, there's nothing that you can't do with Jesus. And it seems like, I'll tell you that when that man got ready to leave, we ordered our food. And, of course, when the pastor got there, his wife said, oh, honey, you missed it. You should have been here. said, Thurman, attack the guy back there to me. And I did. I guarantee I attacked that guy. But I've learned that if there's any lost, they're lost because the God of this world's blinded their mind to the truth. And Luke 10:19-20 says, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So if I got that kind of power, what can I do? I can, you bet we can get something done. So anyway, whenever he got ready to leave, he come by around in our table, walked right up to me, shook hands with me, and said, Sir, I want to thank you for what you did for me tonight. He said, It's wonderful being a child of God. And I want to thank you. He shook my hand again, and he turned and walked off. There was two guys sitting over here at a table. They jumped up and come over here, and he said, Sir, I got to ask you a question. He said, Are you a preacher? I said, Well, I guess you could say that. He said, I've been in church off and on all my life, and I have never seen anything like this, never in my life. He said, Where are you preaching? And I said, Well, I'm at his church. And he said, Do you have a business card? And he said, Sure. So he gave him a couple of business cards. He said, Where are you having services tomorrow night? And I said, Yes, at 7 o'clock. They said, We'll be there. And both those guys came the next two nights. They both come because they had never seen a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, I mean, we have been given the keys to the kingdom. When Jesus says, My children, it gives me great pleasure to give to you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. In other words, if you want, and he said, And these are the things of the kingdom. You cast out demons, you heal the sick, you cleanse the lepers, and you raise the dead. Now that's a big one, isn't it? That really separates the boys from the girls right there, or the men from the boys, or the boys from the whips, I will say. I will have to say, in all of that teaching and everything I've had in all my life, I've only had the faith to speak over one man that was dead, and he'd been dead a half hour, and he came back to life, and that man is still alive and well today. So, I mean, it does work if I could just have that faith all the time. But unfortunately, I'm still... You know what my major problem is? I'm made out of a little piece of dirt. And sometimes that dirt or that flesh gets in my way. You know what I mean, Miss Carrie? Yes, she does. For those of you that have not heard Miss Carrie's story, when her and her husband went to Florida to pray for a relative that had already been put in hospice. It's over. That's what they told you, right? She was already in hospice, so she said, We sit in Thurman's church listening to the Word of God all the time. Said, Let's go down to Florida and pray for that woman and let God raise her up and heal her. So they go down there. When they get there, the woman looked so much worse than Carrie thought. She walked in that room and she looked at her and her countenance just fell. I can just see it. Her countenance just fell. And the master said, Carrie, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead 4 days. This woman's still alive. All you need to do is touch her. And you touched her, and what happened?
She got out of there and lived for 7 months.
Yeah. Got completely healed. Just think. Now, what does it say after that, honey? After you still got the microphone there?
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust.
Okay. Next.
Surely
we got to be willing to say that. You have to be willing to say it. Then what does it say?
Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
So just think. If you do everything He said in the first two verses, He'll deliver you. I mean, if God delivers you from the noisome pestilence, you know what noisome pestilence is? It's sickness. It's sickness and disease. If God delivers you from sickness and disease, how much sickness and disease are you going to have? Not going to have any. And so that's why by learning these principles and standing on these principles, repenting of my sins, which, you know, I didn't know that I had to repent of sin, but I did. When I learned it, I repented of all my sins. Then I started standing on His Word and I started confessing what the Word says. That I am not only saved, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm made whole, I'm preserved, praise God, because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I'm healed. And virtually every human being in the last 30 years, I could not tell you, couldn't even begin to tell you, the thousands of people that have come through our ministry that that we've touched in the name of Jesus, and he healed them, just like this young boy, just like Mike. Mike, his lovely wife, laid hands on him. I didn't even get to lay hands on him. She laid hands on him. She just barely touched him and prayed for him. And I asked Mike one day, I said, well, after Gracie laid hands on you and prayed for you, how long did it take for you to get healed? He said, one heartbeat. One heartbeat. And he's been through that pain in the back ever since. Right, Mike? Isn't that something? Only took one heartbeat for him to get healed. But he had to learn something. How many years were you sick with that back trouble, Mike? 20 years. Only 20. Now then, just think. For those of you that are in this room today that are sick, that came out here to get a healing, the same thing is available for you, just like it was for Mike and Gracie, just like it was for this young boy that was here, just like it was for Carrie, just like it was for all of us. All of us have received by faith. I mean, and you talk about this young boy, he hadn't had no more trouble with his ear or hearing for 13 or 14 or 15 years. But if he keeps walking with God and keeps reading the Word and doing what God says, one day he may be 70 or 80 years old like me. And when he does, guess how much sickness he should have from where he is to where he's going to go? None. Praise, I've been so fortunate to not have had to go to any kind of doctor, any kind of surgery, medical doctor I'm talking about. I did go to a doctor to have my eyes checked, but that I say that don't count. But anyway, to go to a doctor, for a medical doctor, I have not been sick for 35 years. 35 years. Now, I quote the Word. I believe the Word. I believe it means what it says. And if it says what it means, then I believe I don't have to be healed. I don't have to be sick. I can be healed because Jesus healed me on the cross. When Dave showed you a while ago that healing belongs to you, it means it was paid in full on the cross. When he put them nails in his hands, when he said it is finished, man, he means it was finished. It was paid for. Now all you got to do is repent of your sins. When you repent of sin, you say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. And one of the biggest things we have in the church is I repent, Lord, for my sins of unbelief. I am so sorry that I don't believe. Because that's what Jesus' answer was of so many people. He could, okay, read on. Let's go read on. Yeah, next verse.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Wait a minute, right there, I want to just expound on that just a little. The reward of the wicked. What does it mean to be wicked? In other words, we think, okay, so I'm a murderer. I'm wicked. But what if you have a bitterness or an unforgiveness towards someone? According to God's Word, he says you are wicked. If you hold an unforgiveness or a bitterness against someone, you are wicked. If you're wicked, you're going to have trouble. This ain't going to work for you. The foundations of this Word of God is built on love. And you got to walk in love. If you don't walk in love, it will not work. And you don't get to go to heaven either. That's something. In other words, there's several things in the Word of God that says that if you do, you won't get to go to heaven. One of them, he hates liars. He hates homosexuals. He hates perverts. Somebody says, God don't hate those people. I didn't say he hated the person. I said he hates the sin. Now then, anybody can be free from anything. You don't have to be a sinner no more. You can say, Lord, I'm going to receive you as my personal Savior, and I ain't going to be I ain't going to be sick no more because I ain't going to sin no more. I'm going to walk in obedience to your word. Every time I make a little mistake of any kind, if I do, Lord, you just tell me and I'll repent immediately. And then, Lord, with your help, I won't do it no more. And now then, somebody says, it's impossible for us to go through life without sinning. Well, if it is, then God lied to us in the Bible. Because God said in the Word to sin, how much? No more. He said when you get saved and get accepted as a son of God, you're to go and sin no more. And that if you are sinning, then you need to get in the Word. And you need to learn. Keep reading there and just read that right quick. I didn't realize it was so late. Go ahead.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee.
Okay, wait a minute. What do you think about that? If you obey him and do what he says, how much evil is going to hit you?
None.
I like that, don't you?
Yes.
No evil? In the world we live in today, it's nice to know you can walk out there with no evil, right?
Yes.
But, you know, you got to be walking in love with God. Okay, read on. Honey.
There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways.
Wait a minute. If he's going to give his, if you're walking in obedience to his word and you call on him to send angels to help you, what will he do? He will send angels to help you. Many times we've called on angels to help us. In fact, that front porch that Dave just put on his house up there, that used to be a wall in the gym over there. When me and Dave Lewis was trying to stand that wall up, it was 18 feet tall and 22 feet long. 2x6s, double 2x6s. And we couldn't pick that up. I don't know what made us think we could pick that up in the first place. But anyway, we thought we could. But we found out we couldn't. And so when we didn't get it up there, we had to lay it down on some ladders. Dave, we want to sit down. Dave said, Thurman, I know what you did wrong. I said, what's that? He said, you didn't ask the Lord to send an angel to help us. I said, that's right, I didn't. I said, does he say he sends angels to help us?
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent for not asking for an angel. Now I'm asking for an angel to help me and Dave put this wall up here. Thank you, Lord, it's done. So I had a drink of cold water. Went back over there and sat down. The wall's still 42 feet long. It's still 18 foot tall. It's laying out here on a set of ladders. Dave gets on that end. I get on this end. We start up with it. And just as we start up, it just goes right up and right in place. Hit the top up there perfect. I said, wow. Dave said, man. He said, I didn't hardly pick up nothing that time. I said, I didn't either. I said, it must have totally been our angel. Now, something happened. Something happened. But we had an 18-foot-high wall, 22 feet long, made out of double 2x6s, and me and Dave think we can pick that up. I don't know what we were thinking. I guess we just, you know, we were thinking we were sons of God. That's who we thought we were. We wasn't thinking we were wimps, that's for sure. We wasn't going by what we could see, because if we had looked at that wall, we'd have known we couldn't have picked that big wall up. But that didn't hamper me and Dave at all. We just put it up there, or tried to. But we couldn't do it without the help of the Lord. But when the Lord helped us, we put that thing up there. Dave said the other day, he said, I was amazed at how heavy all them boards were. And to think that y'all stood that thing up. Now then, does that Bible say we have angels given to our charge?
Yes.
They're there to help you. All the time. So don't let the devil of the world run over you. I knew that night up there in Kansas City that I attacked that guy up there. I knew I had angels all around me. I knew that nothing could touch me in the name of Jesus. It's amazing. Read on. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
Okay, now, what does that mean? We shall trample the devil's under your feet. If you haven't opened any doors to sin, if you walk holy before God, then he's under your feet. When you cast him out, he has to leave. He cannot stay. If you're walking in obedience to God's word, you can just tell him, Satan, get out. You got to go. You can't come back. And you're not welcome here no more. Go away in Jesus' name, and he will go away. Read the rest of it.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name.
Amen.
Praise he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
Ever seen so many eyes that you're like in the right place? Because
yeah.
They ain't talking about me and you. He's talking about God. You know, God's going to do that for us. Okay, honey.
With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Praise the Lord. With these scriptures and hiding the word in your heart, like the little Joel hidden those psalms in his heart, if that little guy keeps memorizing the word of God like he has, I mean, there's no telling what God will use that boy for. I mean, it's just no telling. Because, I mean, he's 9 years old. I mean, he'll be so well founded in the Word of God, he won't have to worry about it. Like the deal the other day, a couple of pit bull dogs went to attack some little kid and just tore him up and chewed on. I just thought to myself, that poor kid, he was 9 or 10 or 12 years old, and two pit bull dogs got him. And they tore him up, and I thought, you know, that boy had no idea that if he had been a Christian, like little Joel, he could have taken the word of God and said, stop in the name of Jesus, and those dogs would have stopped dead still. I know that that works because I've seen it happen in my life. You have power and authority beyond your wildest dreams, and most of us don't even know we got it because we don't read the book. But when you start hiding the book in your heart, like Joel's reading it, then one day when you need it, there it is. Yeah, you'll have it. You'll call on it in the name of Jesus, and you'll see great and mighty things happen. In fact, it'll be like that angel the other day. Some of you heard me tell that story. That pastor from
Cleveland,
yeah, over in Cleveland. What's the name of the state? Cleveland, what?
Cleveland, Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah, Cleveland, Tennessee. Just a couple of weeks ago, the pastor from there, he called me and told me a great story. A guy ran off of a bridge at his church.
A deacon.
And they were trying to get the car out, and he said, Lord, I need some help. And he said, when I looked up, there come this most beautiful white, a truck. I don't know whether it was a wrecker or what, but a silver and white truck. And he said, this guy gets out, looks like a normal man. I said, who are you? He said, well, you said you needed help. So he said, I come to help you. He said, well, we probably need at least two wreckers or maybe three to get this car up out of this hole and get it sitting out here on the road again. Angel said, whoever it was, we now think is an angel. He just walked down in there, walked to the side of the driver's door and reached up and grabbed a hold right here and grabbed a hold right here, picked that car up and turned around and set it down on the road. Some of you say, I don't believe that. See, that's what I'm saying. You don't believe nothing. But this is a true story. It just happened a few weeks ago. And then after that, after he set it down on the road, they were all flabbergasted too. The pastor of the church, Robert, he called me and told me, he said, Thurman, that's the most awesome thing I've ever seen. He said, that guy had to be an angel, picked that car up like it was nothing, set it down on the road. And then I said, well, but you know, the deacon, he said, okay, sir, you can go home now. You're okay. I said, but the car's tore all to pieces. He ran it off into the creek. I mean, the whole front end was crushed in and everything else. He said, well, look at it. He said, we went around and looked at that car, and there was not a dent or a scratch on that car nowhere. Our God has a good body shop. A good one, that it works bad, but bad. Mike, you couldn't have fixed it that quick. Isn't that amazing what's available for us, God's children, if we only believe? You know, when God says in his word, I can do anything, all things, nothing is even difficult. That's just like that Ephesians 3:20, God, I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can even think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in you. So how much of that power do you have in you? I hope a whole lot. If you don't have a lot, then start reading the book. Because every time you read the word and read chapters, just like little Joel, you're hiding that word in your heart. Isn't that something? It's wonderful. Okay, we're going to take communion. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yeah, next Saturday we have a healing school from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock next Saturday. But right now we're going to do communion. And since Dave's already done all the teaching on communion, we'll just pass out the elements and we'll take those. We'll say a little prayer and then we'll be through. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, the keys to the kingdom. with long life will I satisfy thee and show you my salvation. What's long life?
120.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I got a pastor friend of mine, which is a really, really, really strong man of faith. They called me last week and said that he was having problems with his brain. And so we prayed over him and everything, but I don't know what God's doing there, but in the last 7 days, he had 4 brain surgeries in 7 days. So we have just prayed for him and praised the Lord and thanked the Lord. And we were just up there just a few weeks ago, but something has happened. So I know God's in control. Just like Brother Paul told me, he said, Thurman, you know I trust God, but he said, it didn't make any difference to me. What happens whether I live or die on this earth, I don't care. He said, either way, I win. He said, either way, I win. So he said, before you go in for surgery, I prayed for him. But I asked the Lord, of course, to forgive him of all sin and to heal him and do a great work on him and continue to use him for his glory. But he said, if the Lord don't bring me out of this, he said, there's no big deal. He said, I'll just, in fact, when he did come out of it, his wife told me the other day when I talked to her after he got out of the surgery, he said, with his own eyes, he got to see the valley of the shadow of death. He said he went into it. And then the Lord brought him back out and brought him back. But he said, I got to see that with my own eyes. I really saw the valley of the shadow of death. What does the scripture say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Is that what he said? Praise God. So, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. God's in control. Amen. When if he uses us here for his glory, I mean, just like this young man that's here today that got healed, I mean, it doesn't make a difference who it is. God is the one that heals all of you.
Amen.
He's the only healer. There's no one else can do that.
No one.
No one. You're right. No one. I mean, so... But I'm grateful that he uses us, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm grateful that 10 or 15 years after the case, we can have a young man come and stand here and say, you know, healing really works. I had a brain tumor or whatever, and I was prayed over, and then it's gone. Your tumor or whatever it was, and it's gone, and it's never come back. And we're going to believe with all our heart it ain't never going to come back.
Amen.
We're going to speak directly to that thing and say, hey, you will never come back. This boy is healed and delivered. Right now, and he's going to stay that way from now on in Jesus' name. And that boy's going to, as long as he stays in there and in touch with God, stays in the Word of God, he will be able to walk in divine health.
Amen.
No sickness. As we read there in Psalm 91, if we obey him and do what he says, no sickness. He will take all sickness away. But it's all over the Bible. It's not just there in Psalm 91. It's all over the place. So anyway, I like not having to have a doctor. I take that back. I have the best doctor in the world. He is the best, is he not, Betty? He is the best doctor in the world. Cheryl and I have the best doctor in the world. There just ain't no two ways about it. He is great, isn't he, honey bunny? Absolutely. Praise the Lord. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for sending people here today that need to be healed and need to be touched. We thank you for sending those that have already received their touch years ago and have come back and to testify of the healing power of Jesus Christ and how wonderful you are and how you heal all those that come to you and repent of sin and believe with no doubt in their heart. You heal them all. So Lord, thank you for doing that. For all the people that are here today, those that need healing, bring them to the right prayer warrior and let us find their sin. Let them confess their sin and then let them pray and believe. And then, Lord, they will be healed. And I thank you and praise you for doing it for every one of them. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.